Thank you so much. Come on, let's give Jesus a clap and honor him. He's our hero tonight. We thank you, Jesus. You do miracles in our midst. You remain faithful to us. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We honor you, Lord, tonight. We welcome your Holy Spirit to come and stir up the gifts in us. And Lord, impart into us tonight. And Lord, we thank you. Amen. Well, please be seated. Such a joy to be with you. Really is. Just a great joy to be with you. Hospitality has been so good, and so many here sitting so close together. It's awesome. Oh, tap, tap, tap. I'm being tapped. It's just wonderful to be here with you, and we've had such a great time. The hospitality has been wonderful, and I love the atmosphere in the church. Great worship team. Why don't we just acknowledge the worship team? They are great. They are great, and that passion of worship leading, awesome. Oh, I love it. It's all so good. And I love just the feel of faith in the house. And so I'm going to pray for people tonight. That's what people will come for, but I always like to equip. Because if all I do is do something, that's one level of blessing. If I help you do something, then that's different altogether. And so part of the role of Fivefold Ministry, major role of the ministry really, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, and it's to mature the saints of God. And people react to that bit, but we'll try and do some equipping tonight. So I want to share a message called Stir Up the Gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Amen. Stir it up. And if ever there's a need for a time to stir the church up, it's now. And it's a deep concern to see what's going on as we see the nation changing, the culture changing. We see the loss and the attack on the foundations of family and beliefs which sustain a nation. You know, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. So when the nation walks upright in godly ways, there's a lifting up and exalting that nation. When it begins to reject those things, it goes into decline. It can never work out why. That's the deception of sin. People sin here, and then they discover the consequences there and can't connect the two. Anyway, I want to share with you something. So first of all, let me just open up. I'm going to share a little bit about the whole realm of stepping up and moving in the supernatural. And there's a tremendous need for the Church of Jesus Christ to move in the power of God. Now, you may have been disappointed. You've been prayed for. Things haven't turned out like you did. But there's still the powers of the age to come for us to reach in by faith and bring them here. All through history, in dark times, someone rose up and the power of God came through that person to bring light into the darkness and deliverance to the captives. There's a need for that now. Like I had someone just listening to my message from here. I did a message from here a little while ago, April, I think, and my son put the message up somewhere. Who knows where it went? It was up podcast, I think. Guy's driving down the road and he's listening to the podcast. He's feeling inspired. And then I got to the end. They left the prayer on at the end, which is great. And so as I'm praying, I command that to come out. He suddenly began, and he had a coughing fit in the car. And so he pulls over to the side of the road, just carried on listening, and he got a massive deliverance. And just tremendous. So he contacted my son. And he said, oh, Pastor Dave, can any chance I'll get to talk with your dad? And I said, I don't know. I'll let him know what's happened. So I thought, man, I got to talk to this guy. So anyway, he came around. We made an appointment. He came around and have a bit of time with him. And I got him to share his story a little bit. And then I could see there's some other things, too, that God's wanting to do. So I said, well, all right, then we got to the end of your story. So we need to bring God into it. So first you need to come to Jesus. So we pray, led him in a prayer, and he received Jesus. And I said, right now, because of what you've been telling me about, there's a whole area of addiction now you need to be free of. So we prayed. Man, he kicked my table over. He manifested. He got a massive deliverance right there. He's sort of in shock. You know, there's no music, there's no nothing, just God came, you know. And then his partner rang him up, wanted him to come home, and I said, you can't go home, put her off. I said, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. So he saws her off, and then I just said, here's how you do it, gave him a few instructions, stood up and lifted his hand up, so he went down the road staggering, because the power of God is on him, just the Holy Ghost had touched him. And it's great when things like this happen. That was just listening to a message. There's a hunger. There's a need. People have got no answers. We've got answers. I was recently had a girl and she'd attempted suicide and now in a mental unit. So I went up to visit her with Pastor Kate and we talked with her and I gave her some advice. And I said, I know exactly what's wrong with you and I can fix you. You won't get fixed here. You won't, because of the nature of this problem you've got. If you even tell them about this problem, they will probably lock you up. And so I said, here's what it is. Here's the name of the spirit that's troubling you. Stay quiet for 3 days and come out. And then, because she was involuntarily, she came out. We had 3 sessions with her, totally freed up. You wouldn't even know now, just alive in the Holy Ghost, being tormented by demons and needed the power of God, needed deliverance. Now, they're not all going to come to me. You've got to reach out to the people in your sphere. Bring God to them. How about that? Bring God to them. So I want to have a look at a scripture there in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you, I'm going to tell you again, Timothy, keep forgetting these things. I remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So notice there are some things in there. First of all, we see that supernatural gift of God can be imparted through the laying on of hands with prophecy. So Paul had obviously imparted into him, something came into his life and he was able to function when he couldn't function before. That's what we need fivefold ministry, to put something into our life. We can do things we didn't do before. Second thing we notice there, it took place through the laying on of hands. So we want to pray for people at the end, have a great time to pray for people. And the third thing we notice there is that the supernatural giftings that have operated in a person's life can cease functioning. They can become dormant. Dormant means present, potential, but nothing happening. And that's the state of much of the church. Great potential, but not a lot happening. And we want to just look tonight at some of the reasons why that is so and what to do about it. Stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. You notice the gift of God is an entrustment. So the gifts God gives you are an entrustment given to you for a purpose. The primary purpose is to minister to the needs of others. It's given to you for others, not given to you so you're important. Prophet. Stand back, everyone. Now, that's not for that. The gift of God is given to you for people. So the first is to meet needs. The second main thing about the gift, it's an entrustment for you to develop and prove faithful stewardship. It helps qualify you for the other things God has. So if you want exercise and grow the little he gave you, why would he give you more? Well, think about that. If you've given a gift to someone and they don't even use it, they neglect it and it doesn't even work, and you come back later and there's nothing happening, you're not going to give more. You say, what happened to what you got? Come on. See, a lot of the church gets into a religious mindset of waiting for God to do a big new thing rather than actively stirring the gifts of God within us to become a functioning, active body. We say amen. Amen. There's always a tendency in people to want someone else to do it because there's a cost to you. Moses, you go up, you get the word of God, come back, tell us what God's saying. Well, it's not meant to be that way. God's desire and plan is everyone hears his voice, everyone functions in the spirit. You getting the idea? Okay then. So we see a few, notice the last thing we can notice in that verse is he says, stir up. That means to take a fire that was once burning bright and get the thing going again. Now, when a fire dies down, it doesn't reignite by itself. You've got to do something. You've got to put fuel on it and you've got to blow on it and then whoosh, she's away. Can't stop it. So notice then that gifts can become dormant that have been imparted to us. And we are responsible because it's an entrustment to take steps to get the gift up and fired up again. Don't sit back and wait for some big day God will do one thing. No, you've got something. Use what you've got and grow it. Use it or lose it, they say. you're getting quiet again. I know I'm just messing with your head a bit again. I can see it was pretty strong this morning. And anyway, okay, so here's four reasons why you need to stir up the gift of God. I'll give you four reasons why. Then I'll give you some reasons the gift goes quiet on you and it's not moving. You're not prophesying anymore. No more words of knowledge. No one's being healed. No one being delivered. Nothing happening. And we're happy to be like that? No way. I can't stand that. I mean, I got excited when Pastor West said, oh, it's a word of knowledge. I'm getting healed. How awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've seen that all over the world, hundreds and hundreds. But still, seeing God do something's exciting. Yeah. I'm going to keep that childhood thing inside you, just loving God, loving the simple thing. So here's four reasons why I need to stir up the gift. Number one, every believer is called to operate in the supernatural. Every believer is called by God to operate in the supernatural. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, God freely gives to every believer operations of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just serving or helping or leading or those kind of gifts. He goes on to list, they are the word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, gifts of healing. God gives to every believer. If God gifts it to every believer, our role is to understand it and receive it and learn to operate in it as God intended. If God gives those gifts to every believer, it's because his plan and intention, everyone learn how to access the supernatural and bring the blessing, the ministry, the life of the Spirit to other people. Okay. It follows that it must be how God's designed you. So if he gives the gifts to everyone, he must have designed you so you can operate in them. He must have made it so it's not hard. He must have made it so it's that easy that even if you haven't been to much education, haven't done anything much, you could still do that. It's not hard. The Bible tells us, you know, how does he work miracles? How does he minister the Spirit? Galatians 3:5. Is it by you working hard, staying in church a long time, studying a lot? No. It's just by the hearing of faith. What? Say that again. By the hearing of faith. How does he do miracles and move in the Spirit? By the hearing of faith. What does that mean? I need faith in my heart that God will use me, and I need to position myself to hear and do something with it. So it's not like it's complex. But there's always the element of self gets in the way. That's the dilemma. It's sort of that risky element. You've got to step out. So I'll lead the way a little later, and then we'll give you all a chance to have a go. How about that? It goes quiet about then here. So if the believers don't move in the Spirit, they'll find substitutes. See, if we don't have the Spirit and power of God, we will try to find a substitute. Want to be in the music or entertainment or something like that. The second thing is, all believers are called to build up others. Every believer is called to be a builder. You are called to be a builder. Now, most people think that the church is about me being blessed. Their whole view of the Christian faith is about how I want God to bless me. Well, he blesses you for a reason. If you don't understand and function in the reason, there's going to be a choking up of the supply. I will bless you and you will become a blessing. So in other words, grace from God comes to us and through us. It's not meant to stay. I just want more for me. See, it's actually God wants you to be a channel for his blessing. And as you prove that you're willing to give out, serve, meet the needs of people, he will give more to you. That's how it works. I will bless you. You'll become a blessing. So if I speak tonight on how to receive an impartation of the Spirit, the big question is not how to receive the impartation. The big thing is whether you'll actually determine to become a blessing to people. That'll determine whether you stay in the flow of the river. Oh, it gets quiet when I kind of start to put my finger on a few there, but it's just how it is. See, in 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so you are zealous of spiritual gifts, let it be for building of the church you seek to excel. So Paul considered it normal for believers to be passionate about spiritual gifts. I find a lot of churches, there's no passion for them at all. There's not even room for them to operate. They should be operating in the meetings, in the corporate gatherings, whenever we gather as believers in the homes, everywhere we gather, there should be the flow of the Spirit of God. So he says, I want you to stand out or be passionate or excel. What does he want you to excel in? Excel in building up people. excel in building up others. Now, get this. You can't build up others if you don't connect with them and engage with them. And this COVID thing is doing exactly all it can to stop us doing that and bring us back into a corner where we give up and become a spectator. It's an enemy of how we're meant to function. You have to see that. And be quite intentional that you won't shut down, withdraw, and isolate. We had one person, I won't identify the person, but they had the four-week lockdown last year, and when it all opened up again, they said, oh, I'm not coming out. I'm staying here till the end of the year. I thought, well, this violates the function of God. We're meant, your gift of God is given. You've got to connect with people for it to function. So gifts are given to every believer because God wants us moving supernaturally, because the needs can't be met any other way. Some needs can only be met by the power of God. Secondly, he wants us to minister to believers. He wants all of us to be a builder of people. Thirdly, the other reason you've got to stir it up is because there's a constant warfare against you. There's a constant warfare against the supernatural. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's saying, you've got to be alert, you've got to be alive, because there's a constant pressure on you spiritually to stop you functioning, redirect your attention away from God's calling in your life, redirect your attention away from the things you're responsible for, and then shut you down, draw you away from a life-giving flow with God. So there's a spiritual warfare. That's why you've got to stir yourself up. It doesn't matter how long I may have been a pastor. If I don't stir myself, I can drop back into not functioning, because it's like a default position. You've got to keep yourself activated. So that conflict we're in involves a direct pressure spiritually on you. That's why you struggle with thoughts, thoughts of fear, thoughts of anxiety, thoughts that I'm not good enough. All of those is demonic pressure resonating with wrong beliefs or wounds in the heart to shut you down so you get focused on yourself. It doesn't matter even if you've got lots of things going on in your life. God can still use you to bless someone. You don't have to wait around till you're fixed up and everything's right. Just put your hand up and say, God, today use me. Bring someone to my life that I can touch and reach with the love of God. I don't need to have every answer. I don't even know why lots of things, but I do need to love people. And loving people, you got to invest or show kindness to them in some way. And then the last reason, of course, we had is because the gifts become dormant. They become dormant. That's why they have to be stored up, stirred up, constantly stirred up. It's our responsibility to stir up a dormant gift. And notice that it must be possible to do that. There must be things you can do that cause something to arise within your spirit. What are those things? I need to know those things. So before I give you just exactly what they are and what you can do, I want to talk a little bit about what causes you to shut down. There's a number of reasons I can give you, but the two that I really want to focus are the ones that concern Timothy. But I will give you a list of others, because if you're like me, you like to know the whole list. I hate it when they tell me there's nine things and they'll only give me one. I'm thinking, that drives me crazy. I don't know whether to be happy I got the one or angry I didn't get the eight. Anyone else think like that? If you're a teacher and love points and you take notes, you love that. If you're not, then you don't care. I just got the one. That's enough for me. Give me the... Okay, well, I'll give them to you anyway. So I'll share on a couple of them, and then we'll just see. I may just list them. We'll see how the flow goes. Okay, so why do gifts become dormant? Why is it you were once going strong and now you're not? Probably a number of reasons. Here's the first one, which came out of that first verse that we read. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear is one of the major reasons the gifts of God shut down. Fear. When there is a culture of fear, the gifts shut down. When there's a culture of control, the gifts shut down. Fear turns you inward. Fear causes your thoughts to focus on yourself. I've taught people all over the world how to move in the spirit. And I've noticed it always comes down to this little one thing. It doesn't matter how much you teach them, how much they're in the end, it comes down to this. They feel afraid to take a risk. And that what they do with that feeling of fear determines whether they move in the spirit or don't move in the spirit. And it doesn't matter how longer been a Christian, it always comes down to that. So I came to realize that's the barrier. And why is it a barrier? Because the moment fear starts to develop in your life, what happens is your thoughts change towards giving to help others and saving yourself from any harm or danger or risk or looking silly. Actually, it's the fear of looking silly is the one. Don't want to look silly. Don't want to look dumb. Don't want to stretch out and nothing happened. What if nothing happened? How many have had that come into your head? I got everyone. What if nothing happens? Well, what if something happens? I mean, you can either lock into one. What if nothing happens? Then fear is taking over. I better not do anything. Look out for yourself, man. Or what if something happens? Man, let's give it a go. Never know what might happen. God might do something. But what if he doesn't? You understand? That's the war. That's where the battle is. It's fear, 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 fear. And Timothy was struggling with fear. That's why Paul had to say, stir up the gift. I've been telling you this. Stir that gift up. Because he was intimidated because he's in a culture where the older people, in that culture, honor shame culture, the older people tend to intimidate the younger ones. It's like that in our Pacifica cultures. So they get intimidated in the presence of older people. And Paul is having to speak to him. He's a young man. He's had no father to help strengthen his identity and confidence. Been raised by his mother and grandmother. They imparted faith into him, but something in his identity and confidence was missing without a father. And Paul, as a father, is trying to stir him up. No matter how you feel, step up and engage and fulfill your call. Okay, so number one is fear. Fear will turn you inward. Fear will stop you hearing the voice of God and shut down the flow of the Spirit. So I'll show you a small trick you can do. It's a little thing I learned a long time ago. And it just helps you yielding to fear at the point that you're about to pray. Because if you start to yield to fear, it's over. Nothing happens because it takes faith to bring the power of God connected into the earth. Okay, then here's the second one. So fear shuts down your awareness and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Focus you inward. The second one is. The second one's also found in. I'll tell you the tricks at the end. I want to keep you engaged. I'm going to tell you right now. You say, I got it all, I'm out. I can only handle one anyway. I'll show you exactly what to do. In fact, what I'll do is a little later I'll start to pray for people and demonstrate what's going on internally in the process. So you just understand it. Because I found that I was in church for years and people would do things. They think, what? How'd they do that? And no one would ever tell you anything. It's like a secret that made them important. It was just horrible. It's supposed to equip people, not keep your secret thing that God showed you. Share it. Share it. Why? Because of this. That if they don't use it, it'll all disappear and they'll forget it. So don't worry. But if you do share it and they use it, it'll grow. That's how it works. To whom who hears and responds, much will be given. Okay, so the second one in is neglect. I'll give you exactly the keys at the end. I'll make them 1, 2, 3, 4, these things, okay? I'm a teacher. I know. I've been in Asia a long time. I know. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how they work. So I do it that way, and you can remember it easier. So a second reason that the gifts fail or stop functioning in our life is neglect. Neglect of our life with God. And we see that in 1 Timothy 4:14, where Paul, in his first letter, is also stirring Timothy up. Timothy, don't neglect the gift of God that's in you by the laying on of my hands. So neglect. And if you read quickly to the next verse, you get two keys just right there. But we won't go there just at the moment. That word neglect means to treat it lightly or not place proper value on the gift God has given you. Now, that's a big problem. It also refers to neglecting your walk with God. Because without a relationship with God, you won't stay in the flow of the Spirit. You don't stay in the flow of the Spirit. So it's very easy to neglect our life with God and actually to despise and look down on the gift that we have, think it's nothing much. We tend to get in comparisons with other people. Oh, yeah, really good at that. I'm not much good. And always with comparisons, you compare the best in them with the worst of you. It's so foolish. The Bible says it's foolish. but it's because of a low value placed on ourselves. So we've got to do something about sorting out the brokenness in our heart and the lies that say you don't have much. Listen, it didn't take much. See, a few loaves and fishes and God can feed a whole crowd. You don't have to have much. Haven't got much here. What do you got? Oh, well, okay, just a rod. Okay, I'll save a nation with your rod. Yeah, it doesn't take much. It's actually that you become available and you don't neglect the walk with God. So neglect of our walk with God, neglect of our own life internally with God will cause the gift to shut down. And sadly, many people despise themselves because they've gone through trauma or they've gone through problems and situations in their life and they feel a low esteem. They've got to deal with that. That's why you need healing to help break out so you can stand boldly up. See? And then some people despise the gifts because they've seen people misuse them. They've seen people with ego prophesying and they're using it to manipulate people or promote themselves and they get turned off and they get offended, as we'll get to that in a moment, and shut down. So you've got to, don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect your walk with God. Neglecting your walk with God and stirring your gift will cause it to start to slowly fade away. Here's the third reason. Pastor spoke on this just before. Passivity. Passivity will cause your gift to shut down. Passivity means, to be passive means to be lacking energy or will. There's just like nothing there. You get around some people, there's nothing there. It's like they're shut down. There's something's not right. Others are full of energy. You get around Pastor Wesley, full of energy. You know, he speaks with that preacher voice, loud voice. Boom! I found out why today, so I tell you why. His father was deaf, so he had to use a loud voice to get attention. How about that? I thought, oh, look at that. Shows how something negative turned to something great. So passivity. Passivity. Many people, to be passive means there's no energy, there's no arising inside, there's no taking initiative. It's a position of waiting for something to happen, waiting for favorable circumstances, something favorable, waiting for someone to notice me or God to give a sign from heaven or some kind of thing, waiting, just waiting. And passivity, you'll never walk in the things of God with a passive thinking, passive spirit. There's got to be a stirring our spirit to believe God. There's an assertiveness that we need to take it to reach to the things of God. Well, you're all getting quiet now again. So God requires that we take initiative. See, think about this. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. James 4:7. Okay, now where is initiative needed? The one who's told to draw near to God, and God will respond. So it appears as though, especially in moving in the Spirit, a lot of it, I've got to actually move myself into a place where God meets with me and something happens. And maybe that means you just take the risk of stretching out and offering to meet a need or pray for someone and believing as you do it, God will come with you and do more than what you expected. Yeah. That's how it works. Then you get surprised, think, oh my goodness, it worked. So here's another one, unbelief. All of the gifts operate by faith. So faith is needed. I must believe God. I need to listen to his voice and act on his voice. Galatians 3:5. But unbelief can get around you. Now, here's how unbelief gets around people. Unbelief sits on people who have been rejected and wounded. And inside, they don't believe. They believe God will do stuff. Yes, I believe for miracles through someone else. But not through me. It's like, the lie of rejection is, I'm not acceptable, I'm not good enough. The same with shame. If people are living, they've lived in trauma, they've got shame on their life, there's often a struggle to be used by God because the message resonating inside, something's wrong with me. So the moment a person who's got that resonance with shame and the spirit of unbelief sits on it, they find it hard to believe God would use them. The moment they step out to be used by God, then this thing starts to talk to them. I'm not good enough. So, and then they pray. Now, remember what shame says? Something's wrong with me. So now we pray. Prayed, nothing happened. You know what you hear next? Must be something wrong with me. So shame was talking to you before you prayed, and then it yells at you after you prayed and beats you into a scurry retreat, thinking, I'll never do that again. Do you understand? This is why people struggle. It's not God's plan is for you to move in the things of the Spirit. It's not that hard, but maintaining a life where we deal with our inner stuff, that's the challenge. Because that's where the warfare is. Passivity. So we need to stir ourselves. And as I share some of the keys, you'll see that all of these are what helps make it take place. Despising. Despising is an issue. When we despise ourselves, that goes with these other things, or despise the gifts or whatever. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 20 and 30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, that means to cause him great sorrow. There's a problem in your fellowship with him, and you need him to minister. So people, we say, well, how do I grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, read the Bible. It tells you. Just read Ephesians 4, 29, 30, 31. And here's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. It's in the way you speak to people and treat them. He gets upset when you speak about people and criticize them and run them down and gossip about them and point out all their faults. When you do that, he is deeply grieved because he loves them and he knows you have no idea why they're in that bad place. You have no idea what injustice they've suffered that's led them to be struggling with the things they're struggling with. If you go down there into Ephesians 5, he talks about uncleanness, uncleanness in our thought life and motivations. These are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of love. He loves people. He's a gentle spirit. So you've got to remember, when you're mouthing off about someone or something, that you're grieving the Spirit of God who's with you. Then when you want to try and flow in the Spirit, you've got a bit of a backlog of baggage behind you that makes hearing him a little difficult. When you hear him, he probably says, you've offended me. Let's get that sorted out before we start working together again. Does it make sense to you? In other words, just the simple thing about that is just develop a loving attitude, a good character that goes with your ministry. Love people. Be kind to people. Be nice to people. Just be kind. I don't know, it's radical, but be kind to people. Smile at them and be kind to them. Even if they're not nice, just smile at them, be kind to them. Find a way into their heart because that opens up the way for the Spirit and power of God to move. Okay, here's another thing that'll hinder the flow of the Spirit, shut down that gifting. It's unresolved offenses, when we harbor offenses in our heart. The Bible's very clear about that. We're to flow in the Spirit of grace. God gives us grace, we're to impart grace to others. If you have something against someone, get it sorted out quickly. Otherwise, demons will have an open door to torment you. Matthew 18, 34, 35. So don't walk around being offended. Get your offenses out of the way the same day. So many people I find are carrying offenses that go back years. This is it. The one that's being hurt by this is you and the people you love around you that this thing flows out to. So just make a decision to keep your conscience clean and clear and not walk around offended. I make a decision every day. Lord, today I yield my feet to walk in love. I choose to forgive all who offend me. I'm already in a position of forgiveness before anything happens. I want to live that kind of life. Otherwise, yeah, some people get so upset so easily, don't they? Goodness me. They got to accept that's laughing today, didn't they? Come over and tell us to stop laughing so loud. I could have got offended. What do you mean? Laughing too loud. How can you laugh too loud? No, we were laughing too loud. There's no doubt about it. See, it's so easy to get offended over a little thing. Offended, you stumble over something little and miss the big. Don't be caught up in little stuff. Try to keep big stuff, how we can bless people and help people and be an answer. And then, of course, another reason that will shut the gifts down is a severe spiritual attack. If you're going to move in the realm of the Spirit, you'll start to experience resistance you haven't experienced before. It can be agitating if you don't know what to do. And usually it comes in the form of agitation and relationships. If you think of someone as great as Elijah, he came under severe spiritual attack, become filled with fear, and then ran away. Literally ran away. Well, I know many people I prayed for over the years, they didn't physically run away, but they run away. They're just sitting down and not doing what they should do. They just drew back and ran away. The trouble is, it doesn't stop. Running away is never the solution. Run to it and believe God to help you through it. So he ran away, and of course he went from being afraid, losing perspective, and then he starts to withdraw from his assignment God has given him. So he's no longer operating in his gifts and authority and power. Then he begins to isolate. Then he begins to sit under a tree, becomes passive. Then all he wants to do is, I'm depressed, I need to die. So there's a path, spiritual oppression. He was doing the right thing, but didn't step up and push back when spiritual pressure came on him. Spiritual pressure comes on, you have little things go wrong. You have things annoy you. You have things break. You have things, you know, just, it's always inconvenient. And it's not usually big major things. It's just things happen all the time. They happen for me all the time. I get more concerned for the people who hosted us who have it happen. Cars break down. Pastor, we're so sorry the car broke down. I said, okay, we've got another one. Well, we're sad. We're really embarrassed. That one broke down too. Two cars broken down in Singapore. It just never happens. I can tell you lots of stories. Things just happen. I was in a place in Bataan Island, and every time I would get up and pray and prepare for a meeting, the power unit in my unit would just blow, just like that, boof, gone. And the only unit in the whole island, boof, they come over and they fiddle around, get the thing going again. What do you do? Nothing, just praying. And then boof, it goes again. Oh, just annoying. And more, it's more annoying than anything, you know. I had lots of things like that happen. Cars that would go funny, things would happen. I remember I went to one church, high-tech church. They're so proud of the high-tech church. All the gear, latest gear, got young people running around making it happen. I go in, the power blew. Boom! And they're running around in a frenzy. I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. Just have a drink and just wait, and it'll all come right. And there's another, even in our church, it used to happen there too, same sort of thing. Come down there for a Sunday night service, 6 o'clock, bang, someone hits the power pole, and it's only connected to our church. We're the only building without power. I said, get a couple of candles, get an acoustic guitar, get a couple of cars to shine their lights in the open doors. We're going to carry on anyway. So we just carried on. I just learned to do that, not to give in or draw back. And that night was a great night. The music was great. The presence of God came. We got a whole heap of people saved. They just got touched by it all. I can remember it happened. Lots of stories like that. Another time there, I'm preaching in our church again, and I'm preaching on Jonah and the whale. And I got to the bit, could you believe this? I got to the bit where Jonah was swallowed by the whale, and boom, all the lights go out. We're all in the dark. He could either get upset by it. I said, whoa, we're in the whale. Time to repent. It's unbelievable. And I just carried on preaching. I didn't have to worry about notes. The message in my heart, just preach the message anyway. And we got to the part where the whale spat him out, and boop, the lights all come back on again. How does that happen? It's just like, it's so unusual, really. Now, people couldn't believe it. It's just stuff happens. So if you get intimidated by that, or you let fear get around you, you draw back. But actually, I get excited when it happens. Yes. Because I know we're engaging something. It's the proof that the devil is upset about what we're doing, trying to stop it. So we just go anyway. Go hard. You know? Don't pull back, go further. Okay, all right, now, so how do we get, we need now to the how to actually get over all of this sort of stuff. And I'm going to try to get it down to some simple things. Basically, there are two areas you got to work on or develop. The first one is you got to prepare yourself. There's got to be an investment in you. And I'll show you exactly what you do to invest in you. And then the second is you've got to step out and take risks. Okay, well, we'll get to the risk bit. I can see they're not impressed by that one. I'll give you the prepare one. But so we must intentionally invest in our own growth. If you want God to move through you and move through you consistently, be intentional in investing in yourself. Don't leave it up to the church meetings to do it. Do something for yourself. So here's a few simple things you can do. Number one, and they're not necessarily in order of importance, but here's some things to do. Feed your heart and mind on testimonies of God moving. Feed your heart and mind on testimonies. Because testimonies release a spirit of faith. The same anointing that got them the breakthrough is released when they testify. So listen to testimonies. Don't go listening to the news media. It's telling you lies nearly all the time. It's spinning a narrative. It's no longer news. News no more. That's really it. Start to get the news of what Jesus is doing, because something will change in you as you just fast off the news and get into hearing the good news. Start to hear testimonies, miracles of God moving. It'll stir your faith. You watch things happening on, watch some miracle meetings where people, God's touching people. Oh, yes! I can remember how I got started moving in the Spirit. I got near to Clark Taylor and he's moving in the Spirit. And I got an old tape of his and I would play it through as I prayed. And I got to the point, I'd play over and over the bit where he's praying for someone. Oh, the power! You know, the way he goes. And I would get into it and feel it and imagine it. In other words, I allowed myself to enter into the Spirit of what was going on. So, number one, get some testimonies going. So you're listening to testimonies, stories of people. Yeah, watch The Chosen. That's really good. Pray strongly in tongues. Build your spirit, man. Pray strongly in tongues every day. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 and verse 14. If you pray in a tongue, then you're building up yourself. There's something happens when we pray in tongues. It's a gift given for a purpose. Its primary purpose is to build and energize your spirit. So no one can, you choose how much you pray in tongues. You choose what you do with the gift. But if you'll use that gift as God intended and you begin to pray and you pour out from inside and there's a focus on what you're doing, not just mumbling away. And pray strongly. You can do that when you're driving the car. But when you get a time alone with God and pray, and let your spirit be heard. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. That means it's got a voice. Let your voice be heard. Now, I know some people think, well, you're just a noisy boy, you know. And others, I'm just a quiet person. Well, listen, that's because you've lived under oppression or fear. There's been control. Inside you is a lion. You need to hear your voice. You need to let your voice rise up. And sometimes you find as your voice tries to rise up, there's almost like a warfare goes on, because in our home we're told to be quiet. Kids should be seen and not heard. And so you learn and are trained to be quiet. You're not trained to give voice, to be a voice of God, to speak the word of God. So the place to learn that's in your personal prayer time. Start to pray, and start to pray from your belly. Pray strongly. Let it rise up inside. Now, it's not shouting. It's letting strength rise. Let your spirit, put yourself in your words, not mumbly words. And your spirit will become strengthened greatly. Strengthened, built up, strengthened, come energized, come alive, your mind gets clear, your atmosphere begins to shift. It's what happens. It's a great gift of God, my goodness. Okay, here's another thing. Cultivate intimacy. Cultivate intimacy. Intimacy is a two-way thing. Let me share you a trick on what to do. After you've had your strong time of praise and so on, and praying in the Spirit, sit down and begin to journal. Write out your prayer to God and wait on Him to speak back and to prophetically speak to you. And just wait. I just write down my prayer and I just write out the prayer from my heart, what's going on, and Father's response. And I wait on Him. And I wait, just pray quietly in the Spirit, and I hear my son. And as soon as I hear my son, I quick start writing. See, and start writing. Now, I don't try and read what I'm writing. I just listen. He's dictating. I write. Afterwards, then I go through it all and highlight it into the points he's making, underline and highlight the things that are action steps I need to take. So I've got clear directives. Now, what happens is, if you will practice listening to the voice of God for yourself, it'll be easier to hear it for someone else. It's just you, because that's how you move in the things of the Spirit. You become sensitive to little impressions of the Holy Spirit. Try it. Try journaling. Journaling is great, you know, inquiring. God will show you the root causes of things going on in your life. He'll tell you the things that are holding you back. He'll talk to you about what He's got in mind for you. He'll tell you what you need to focus on. He'll tell you when to pray, when to fight. He'll give you directions. My goodness, you have a hotline to heaven. Use it. But that's how I do it. I do it with journaling. And even when we're doing counseling with people, I always send them time aside before I pray to get them journaling so they engage their heart and the feelings of their heart and start to hear God speaking to them about things. Okay, there's one. Okay, here's another thing. Meditate. To meditate means to rotate around in your mind and to picture something happen. Meditate on the gift of God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 and 15. In verse 14, he said, don't neglect the gift of God that's in you by the laying on of hands, but rather meditate on these things. And then we'll get to that later. Give yourself to them. That's the risk bit. So he says, meditate. So how do you meditate? That's a whole teaching of its own. It's not sort of sitting in a passive position, you know, emptying yourself. That's Easter meditation. Christian meditation, we picture God's truth as if it's real and now and imagine entering into it and experiencing it. So as you pray in the Spirit, you begin to see what God is doing. You see yourself moving with God. Thank you, Lord. As I stretch out my hand, the power of God touches people. And you begin to picture yourself and declare over your life God working through you. You build a picture of yourself as God intends you to function. He's not making something up. It's just allowing your imagination to picture the reality that God is in me and God is working through me. Thank you, Christ is in me, filling me. You begin to meditate on the presence of Jesus until you become conscious of him. Most people are conscious of their fear, conscious of their lack, conscious of need. But if we meditate in the Word, we become conscious of God and his provision. Here's another thing that meditation will do. It'll help you train your mind to fix instead of going like a butterfly. You know, one of the big problems in prayer is your mind wanders. How many notice your mind wanders? Here's this, like we just prayed, oh, I must do this. Oh, I'm feeling hungry, Lord. You know, all kinds of stuff goes on in your head. See, that's because your mind has never been trained to fix on God. And so meditation is a discipline to help train your mind to fix on him. Set your affection on things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Sometimes we begin to picture that, coming near to the throne. Try to imagine the glory of it. But you base it on what you've read in Scripture. You're not trying to imagine something. But as you do that, you start to find, because of that focus and because of the prayer, you're starting to engage with him. And that's when I get into meditation. How those all help, aren't they? So those are simple things you can do. Simple things you can do. Another key to developing yourself is regular fasting. Regular fasting in Matthew 6, 17 and 18. He says, when you fast, do it in secret that your Father may reward you openly. So build fasting into your life. Try media fasting. Try food fasting. Try intermittent fasting. Start to build fasting as a regular part of your life, not just to go without food. That's just dieting. Now, fast, take some extra time to just build your relationship with the Lord. So you notice now that we're talking about a committed lifestyle is what God honors with moving through. Anyone can step up and start to move in the Spirit under the anointing of someone else, but to carry something, you've got to build your life with God. But let me just give you one story, then I'll give you the final keys of stepping out, and then we'll do something, all right? I was in a meeting in San Jose, and I was showing people how to pray for the sick and then had a few words of knowledge and pray, and then I got everyone who was sick put their hands up. They're everywhere. And I said, well, look, reach out to the person who's got their hand up and pray for them. And so it all went on, and we got a few testimonies and so on. Anyway, that was a great meeting. So a year later, I come back, and a big, tall guy comes up to me. He said, oh, Pastor. He said, I was in that meeting we took last year. I said, wonderful. He said, I came to Christ. I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm really in Bible school now. I'm doing really well. I said, oh, that is wonderful. He said, I've just got to tell you what happened. And he said, when you said everyone who's sick put your hand up, there's a little lady next to me. She put her hand up, and I put my hand up because I had a back problem. And then when you said to pray for one another, the little lady said, well, you're a big fella, pray for me. I said, I wasn't even born again. I don't know what to do. So I just put my hand on her like you said and said, God, heal her. And she got healed of her back problem, just of her problem. She used a walking stick. She got healed immediately. And he said, well, would you pray for me? She said, no, you're a big fella, pray for yourself. So he said, well, I put my hand on my back like you said, and I prayed for myself, and it went. I said, I wasn't even saved. I've no idea how that could have happened. Now, that tells you that there's an environment required for God to move. I had built the environment. He just stepped into God's willingness to use anyone who would be available. How about that? I mean, that does something to your doctrine. God uses the unsaved guy to pray for the old lady as he gets healed. Oh, hell. Here you are being a search for a long time and God hasn't used you. It's just, that is annoying. But the issue is faith. It's just got to, either the church builds an atmosphere of faith and within that you step up, or you build your life with God and you step up and start to stretch out. And sometimes you don't feel anything. You don't even feel anything. My first time I prayed for someone in a wheelchair, you know what my first prayer was? Oh no, a wheelchair. I hate a wheelchair. I walked into this meeting. There's one right in the Chinese meeting. It's right in front of me like, oh, there it is. You know, mocking me. You know, pray for this one. And I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen. I'll pray for lots of people. And at the end, I'll bring it up and nothing will happen. I'll go away disappointed. This is what went in my mind. I'm going to just be honest with you. This one went through my mind. And it was just overwhelming. And I got to my place, lift my hands to worship. The Lord spoke to me, said, you've got a bad attitude. I said, Lord, forgive me. And he said, I want you to meditate on him being healed. So I just began to, while we're all worshiping, I don't understand a word of it, but I could feel the flow of it. I'm enjoying God, and I'm worshiping. I'm picturing as I worship the guy getting out of that wheelchair, me praying for it. I just meditated on it, meditated. Suddenly, hop, it's going to happen. I got a gift of faith came. And he said, I just knew you're going to be healed. So I got up with the pastor, started to pray for some simpler cases, some situations first, and prayed around a bit. And we got to a certain point, he said, what are you going to do next? I said, well, see that guy in the wheelchair over there? I'm going to go over and pray for him and pull him out of the wheelchair. And he said, oh, you're freaking me out. Don't do that. I said, no, we'll do it. Anyway, I prayed for a few more. I got over, and there's two of them there. And I thought, oh, I'm still going to do him last. So anyway, I prayed for one. And there's a lady there, and she'd been in the wheelchair for 3 years, and she'd had a lot of pain. She just got up and walked, just like that. I don't know who was more astonished. I think I was the most astonished there. I thought, oh my goodness, there's one more wheelchair, the one that would be mocking me at the beginning of the meeting. And I went there and I found he'd had 10 operations on his spine, no more operations, and he's unsaved. And there he is. And I just put my hands on, didn't feel a thing, prayed for him, commanded the healing to come, commanded the infirmity to go, and I took his hand, helped him, he stood up, and I thought, wow, he's standing up, this is awesome. I said, well, let me help you walk a little bit, and I took his hand, and he just shook my hand away, and I'm thinking, goodness, if he falls over, this is not going to be it. You see, this is the warfare of fear in your head. This is what goes on in your head. And so I'm thinking, he's going to fall over, you know, and we had a great meeting till now, then he falls over. It won't be good at that point. But see, this is all fear talking. This is all the torment that goes on. You got to actually, this is before I learned how to deal with that stuff. And so he just took off, walked across and walked back. Then I found an interesting thing. The people who came with him, now he has walked for the first time in 10 years. First time in 10 years. And the people who bought him, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted him back in the wheelchair. They run the wheelchair up behind him and get him back into the wheelchair because their head had not caught up. He is walking. He is healed. And then he came up in the altar call, got saved, and said, well, come on, out of the wheelchair. You don't need that anymore. Anyway. Okay, we're just about there. So you got to do some risk-taking. That's the last part. You've got to take some risks. So we've talked about fasting. Here's some. Look for the opportunities. Ask God to bring them to you. Ask God to bring people to you. Look for opportunities and step out. Stir yourself to listen to the Holy Spirit, what he might say. Just deliberately, intentionally tune in. Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I do? What should I say? What do you want me to do? And then go and engage. Now, you may find that you're listening to God while they're talking to you. But start small. Just look for opportunities to pray. Just step out of the comfort zone and start the praying. Take a risk and expect Jesus to come. Now here's, when you come to pray for people, that's where the trick is. I'll just show you something simple now that I told you before, how you get to deal with that fear thing. Because that's the problem. It gets your head messy when you're trying to pray and believe God. If you can just overcome that, you find you can relax in praying a minute. Barry, why don't we pray for you? Come on up, Barry. I just get someone to stand behind him. Barry will do. Come on over here, Barry. Just come there. Just now, just put your hand on my hand lightly. Just face me. That's right. So everyone can see you. There we go. And just face me, because if you fall over, you fall on there, okay? All right then, so just face it. Now, when you're praying for people, don't strive to minister. We are flowing with the Holy Spirit. So it is important you don't let fear get a hold of you. Now, if you start to focus on what the needs are, fear will start to grow. You'll feel the pressure, I got to do something. You're not going to do anything. You just got to actually be a channel for God to move. So here's what I found will help. See, because if I start to think, oh my goodness, what's going to go into that kind of dialogue, then I will close up my spirit and the very gate needed for healing to come is shut down. But so I just tell Barry, Barry, I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus. Right now, he wants to touch you, wants to pour his spirit out all over you. So you fix your eyes on him. So I'm directing his attention towards the Lord and away from me. You understand? That positions him to become open. Now, some people are really open, and the moment that they do that, the Holy Spirit comes on them like that. I haven't even done anything yet. It's kind of like God's already come because he's so hungry. Hold him up. Don't let him fall over. Got more. Okay. Okay. So direct the person's attention to Jesus, expecting Jesus to do something. Then you, for a moment, before you step in to try to pray, just do what you did in your prayer time in the morning. Close your eyes, quietly pray in the Spirit, and fix your attention on Jesus. Now, if I do that, there will actually be an opening of my spirit to become conscious of him. The moment I become conscious of him, the presence of God will touch him. So now I just got him to be open and the Holy Ghost come on him. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes on him, sometimes not. Sometimes when he doesn't come on them, it's because he knows that there's resistance. We've got to figure out what it is and talk to the person. But right now, I'll do it. I'll just close my eyes as he's got his eyes closed now. Now, what I'll do is this. I will just start to, as I close my eyes, quietly pray in the Spirit. And I will reach and begin to meditate on Jesus and all his goodness. And as I do that, I feel his presence come. And as soon as I feel his presence come, whew, power of God is on him right now. So I'm just acting to move with what God is already doing. Not trying to make anything happen. I'm trying to set myself up to be aware of God and then work with what he's doing. In that case, it was, okay, we need someone else. Need to get a few more people. Janet, you're nearby. I'll pray with you. Here we go. Okay, you ready? Just close your eyes. As you close your eyes, just open and look up to Jesus. Now, start to pray, and I'll do some other things in a moment. I'm just trying to help you see how important the connection with God is, how important your prayer life is. So if you just close your eyes, look up to him. Now, she's very open and sensitive, but if I just close my eyes and for a moment I begin to fix my attention on Jesus, the moment I fix my attention on him, his presence will start to come upon her. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing touching her right now. Now, power of God, just come on her, in Jesus' name. So the presence of God will start to flow with you. But you notice there had to be a work with God in your prayer time. You've got to do your homework. It just makes the ministry much easier. So then, just come on, quickly come on up here. Come on, pray for you. I'll start to move more quickly now because once you start moving, the movement of the Spirit gets deeper and deeper and it's easier and easier and easier. And it'll suddenly, you'll find, I'm just doing 1, 2, 3, but as we start to move, then it becomes a river. When the river comes, that's when lots of things will start to happen. Okay? You're watching, here we go. Just put your hand on my hand. I just find it helpful just to touch the person's hand like that. But I do not push them. I do not give any kind of pushing. Do not do that. So the moment you do that, you're trying to make it up. Okay? Thank you. Now I'm just going to need to lean into the Lord. I see the Spirit of God's coming on already. Oh, I see laughter coming. There it is right there. And the Spirit of God just coming on it. Just joy. Colin, quickly come. There you go. More. That's right. Come quickly. We're going to pray for people who need to be delivered of fear in a moment. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Colleen, just close your eyes. Now, remember, when you're ministering to people, you don't come with it all worked out what will happen. Otherwise, you find you run ahead and away from God, and you miss what he had to say. Thank you, Lord. So right now, Lord, we just open our heart to you. Thank you, Lord. I just see the Holy Spirit wanting to refresh you. He's wanting to put a spirit of joy back on you because you've been through a very difficult time. There's been stress, there's been warfare, and it's been wearying for you. And the Lord's just coming on you. He's going to bring a refreshing rain of joy and laughter. There it is. Just come on. You just start to feel him come on you. Whoa, presence of God right now. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have you got some pain in your body?
Oh, yeah. But
where?
Yeah.
In the back, lower back?
Yeah, back. Yeah.
Lower back. Let's believe God to touch you and set you free. Okay, then. So thank you, Lord. So remember, you just got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So you just reach out. Now, thank you, Lord. You reach up to him right now. He is the healer. So now I need to look at him. Jesus, you're the healer. I thank you, Lord. You're the one who heals. Lord, I reach out to you right now. Now, this time, because the need is specific, I need to speak to the thing that's causing the problem. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak right now to the nerves. I command all pain to go in Jesus' name. I command pain to go. I command the joints to loosen up. I command your spine to loosen up. Lord, let your power come on him right now in Jesus' name. Okay. Just leave. Just stay there and enjoy the presence. In a moment, we'll get you up and just see if you've got a bit more mobility. Okay, so you see how there's a presence of God comes as we just relax, relax. Come on, quickly come on up, we'll pray for you. Just put your hand there, and I'll count downwards. When I come down, the power of God will be on you. 3, 2, 1, power! The power of God just sitting on her. Come on, Ken, right now, come on, Holy Ghost, come on and refresh him. Oh, that's funny. You like that? Should we do it again? Do it again. Get him back up. Get the fire back on him. If you get the fires on him, fire of God is on him. Hard to get him back up, isn't it? We'll just get another. Come on in. Come on up. I'll hurry along in a moment so we can just pray for lots of people. I can feel the fire of God right now. There's a heavenly fire. God's igniting fresh fire in you. You're a great server. You serve in the background. You do a lot of things to help people, do a lot of things to minister to people, but you're quiet. You're never out on the front on it. God is bringing reviving in your own heart, and he's also bringing a breakthrough to prayers you prayed for a particular family member there's been a trouble going on for a while. I just see God coming through, bringing a great breakthrough for you. And just lifting all the pressure. You've just carried a lot of weight. Let's let it go to him. When you let it go, you'll feel it lift off you. 3, 2, 1, off. So as we start to work with the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere begins to shift. Now, it took me time to figure all that out because no one would tell me. And even if I tell you, it doesn't make any difference unless you do something with it. You got to pray for people. So let me just move in a few more areas. So there's someone here, and you have a tremendous fear. In fact, there's a number of people, and your gifting has been shut down by fear. There's someone here, there's a woman, you once stepped out to move in the things of the Spirit and got really set back by the way you were treated, and you've never been able to break free of that. You stepped out to pray and minister, and someone really reacted, and the result of that is fear, and you've shut down. Who is that person that had that trouble? It's a woman. You've stepped out to pray and minister, had a mighty setback, and as a result of that, you're a bit afraid. There we go. Okay, come on there. There's one other as well. There's another one. Same situation. There it is. That's the one. And happened in a church, and someone senior, and it's affected you ever since. All right, then just stand there. Just stand where you are there. That's the way. Okay, thank you. Just close your eyes for a moment. Now, we're just going to take a couple of steps. This is what we'll do. Thank you, Lord. So I don't hurry to pray. Just take a moment to tune into how God wants to do things. Don't think you're going to copy the same thing every time. See? So Father, this person that did this to you, this is a church leader? No, who was it? Oh, okay, all right, it's a man. A man. Father, I just stand in the place of that man that criticized and brought a spirit of control against her. Lord, today I just stand as his representative. I bring it to the cross, asking for the power of this and the judgment that's been rendered against her, asking that it be broken right now in the spirit realm. So what I'm doing is just dismantling what has come against her. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just speak to that spirit of fear. That fear that came at that moment. I command you, come up and come out of her now. Come up, and out of her now. Up, out, 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 out. Loose! In Jesus' name right now. There we go. Okay, just give her for a moment. Okay, we'll get you to stand up again. I want to pray just to activate the power of God in your life again. You ready? Just get her up again. There we are. You'll feel quite different now. That's right. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Lord, I just call that prophetic gift to begin to function again. As I lay hands, Lord, I release the power of God. Touch Holy Ghost right now, mightily, Jesus' name. Okay, we've got some other people here. All right then. Wow.
That was in church.
That was in church. That's the one. Yeah, from an authority figure in church. Okay, just come and face me here. Turn around that way. Just make a bit of space for her. Now, Father, I just stand, Lord, as a pastor, as a leader, as your representative, and Lord, I stand in the place of the person who misused authority against your servant and then released cursing against her. I bring the sin to the cross, asking, Lord, that you would cleanse it, cover it, and remove all judgments against her and break all witchcraft against her. Every assignment that came against her because of that cursing, I'm asking, Lord, you remove it now. Okay, now we've done that. We've just done a little bit of work in the spirit. Now, what I'm going to do now is just speak right now to the spirit. Now, the fear. I speak to fear. 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 Come up out of her now. Fear. Come up out of her now. Come on, come up. Come up. Come up. Fear and grief. Grief. You come up too. Come on. Fear. Grief. Come out of her now. Grief. Grief. Fear. Fear. Death. Out now in Jesus' name. Right now. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Loose. Looser in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, just bless your life. I bless your ministry. I release and activate the prophetic gift back in your life. I release and activate healing in Jesus' name. Lord, let fresh fire come upon her now. 3, 2, 1. Power of God. Touch her right now. Jesus' mighty name. There it is. Okay. You want to go pray for a few sick people in a moment? There we go. Hello there. What's your name?
Vonna.
Vonna. Okay. Then what happened to you?
Just a lady that I had to pray for and the pastor came and yeah.
Pastor came. Yeah. Got angry. I can see the grief you're carrying. Just, why don't you close your eyes, think of that person, that event. Just in your heart, release forgiveness. See, forgiveness helps you step out of it. Now, Father, I just stand in the place of that person, that pastor, that instead of encouraging and edifying, for whatever reason, broke her heart and crushed her spirit. I bring this to the cross asking for your forgiveness and cleansing. I ask you to remove every judgment in the spirit realm against her. And Lord, that you reactivate the gift she once flowed in. I speak now to the spirit of fear. Fear, fear. I break the word spoken over you. I command the spirit of fear and grief. I command you, come up out of it. Come up out of it now. Out, out. Out, out, there it is, coming out. There it is right now. Come out, come out, come out. Grief, fear, let it go right now. I break all the control over you in Jesus' name. I break every inner vow you made. I'll never step out like that again. I break it now, let it go in Jesus' name. Release her right now. Thank you, Lord. Release her now. Holy Spirit, come on her powerfully in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, it's all fun. Now there's other girl. Where's the other girl gone? There's one other. Oh, there she is. Yeah. That's right. Someone else. That's right. Just come over here. What's your name?
Janine.
Okay, Janine. God wants to touch you today. Will you let him touch you?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I just speak to the fear and disappointment. I command you to come up out of her now in Jesus' name. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. Right now, release her and let her go. You know, one thing when we move in the things of the Spirit and we use by God to bless people, one of the requirements of that is we remain humble and that we receive feedback and correction. It's important when we decide that we'll stretch out to bless people that we remain open to feedback. That's how we grow. That's how if we're not getting it quite right, we can get feedback that helps us. Holy Spirit, just come on her right now. Revive her right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many people have got a sickness in your body? A sickness in your body. Why don't you stand where you are right now? Stand where you are. Stand where you are. You're sick in your body. It'll be half the church, I know. Oh, dear God, it's always half the church. Oh! Okay, here's what we'll do then. Just, that's all right. It's okay. We're all getting older, I notice. Hey, it's one of those things that come. But let's believe together God will come and touch people where they are, right where they are. So, okay, those of you who are sick, just what I'd like you to do is now you're standing, raise your hand so people can see. And then what we want to do is anyone who's not standing, why don't you come up and in a moment we're going to pray for them. So before we begin to pray, we're going to pray in the Spirit and just begin to just honor God. Then we'll come and pray for those who are sick. I want you to do it in three steps. Ask, how can I help you? The person says, I've got a pray. I'm believing God for this. And then you pray for that and see what God does. Are we ready? Okay, let's pray in the Spirit.